Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
If you've figured this out yet, I hope that you have, but the gospel is kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal around here. It's a kind of a big deal in our lives. I was reminded of that this week. I might be dragging a little bit this morning because I spent the weekend in Eunice at a camp, father-son camp, a survivor camp, they call it, with my son. And in that camp, there's all of these rotations from go-karts to knife making and axe throwing and bow and arrow making and all of these fun things that we did with the boys and water filtration, all of these great things that we did together as a father and son. And every one of those stations, as it was planned, there was someone there to share the gospel using that as an object illustration so that the kids could understand the gospel. It became very clear the reason that they do that camp is because they want the next generation to know the gospel. The gospel is a big deal. In my office this morning, I was praying with one who was responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. And so the gospel is a big deal. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when someone responds, when a sinner repents and responds to the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, "Repent and believe the gospel," as he started his ministry. And Jesus again said in Matthew 24, verse 14, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In Mark chapter 16, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." The main point that I want to get across to you this morning is that the gospel is a big deal, but the gospel is good news. The gospel is the power of God. That the gospel isn't just a proposition, the gospel is power. And that's why it's such a big deal. And so I want us to see the power of God in the gospel, particularly this morning in the book of Romans. So if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1. We'll be walking our way through parts of Romans this morning if you haven't turned there already. The passage I read a second ago is Paul's thesis statement to this unfolding of the gospel in the book of Romans. It was said that law students early on in Harvard Law School history would study the book of Romans because of the way it articulated an argument so well. And what Paul is articulating is the gospel. He's unable to go to Rome to preach the gospel, so he articulates to the church in Rome what is the gospel. It was the book of Romans that really was the spark that started the Protestant Reformation. Luther said that justification by faith alone, as you see in Romans 1:16 and 17, is the doctrine by which the church rises and falls. I told you about Augustine last week. It was in Romans that all the shadows of his doubts were dispelled. And it all comes from this thesis statement that Paul says, "For I am not ashamed," Romans 1:16, "of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel is power. It's not just a proposition. It's not a channel of power. The gospel is power. And we like power, and we want power. And here, Paul is writing to a church in the most powerful empire of the time, Rome. And he's telling them, if you want to know what power is all about, it's not in politics, it's not in dictators, it's not in rulers. If you want to experience true power in your life, and here, church in Rome, church at Riverside, if you want to experience the power of God, then here it is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans was primarily written to Christians to take Christians deeper into the gospel. And so I want you to understand this as we kind of start to lay the groundwork here of the power of the gospel, that the gospel is for unbelievers. So as you hear the gospel this morning, the Bible says you need to repent and believe the gospel perhaps for the first time. But it's more than just an entry into the Christian faith. It is the power to begin and the power to continue and to walk, and it is the power that carries us all the way home. And so you can imagine why Paul would say here as he opens his letter, you can imagine why he begins writing to this church in Rome, and he says he's eager to preach the gospel to them. I eagerly want you to know this. I want you to know and experience this power. And I want you to know the source of the power that you have as you live for Christ in a world that is not living for Christ. Right? The Roman Empire wasn't too fond of these Christians. And they had great power that they often flexed on these Christians. But he said, I want you to know where true power comes from. So I'm eager to tell you about this church in Rome. And he even says in the beginning that he's indebted to them. He is set apart for this, and he owes it to them. Much like you and I who have received the good news of the gospel, if we've received this great gift, we are meant to pass it on to other people, that someone told you the gospel and it made it to your ears and to your heart. You responded to the gospel, and you have this treasure that you know, this power that you know, and so you are indebted to tell others of this good news, of this treasure you found. So Paul says, man, I'm eager for you to know this. And I'm indebted to you. I want you to know this gospel that I have received. Why? Because it's power. And I want you to experience this power. So he's eager to bring the gospel to Rome. And I'm eager to bring the gospel to you this morning because it is power. And I've seen it save people. I've seen it rescue my own heart. And I believe the Lord just might do that this morning in some of your heart. Notice what he says here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who hears and believes. Who believes? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as the first Christian sermon is preached by Peter at Pentecost, he preaches the gospel. And the Bible says the people were cut to the heart. They had a response, and they said, what must we do to respond? And he says, repent, turn, and trust. And be baptized. They heard, but it wasn't enough. They needed to believe the gospel, put their faith in the gospel, for the righteous shall live by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, as Paul gives his thesis statement about what he's about to lay out for us throughout the book of Romans. It's those who truly believe and repent, who are baptized, they turn and they trust and they publicly identify with Jesus and his body. So, gospel is power. We must believe it, put our faith and trust, surrender to this good news of the gospel. Believe what? What is this power all about? What is the message of the gospel? Well, as some of you who may have been around church for a while, here's how we're going to do this morning. This may sound a bit familiar, but we're going to walk the Romans Road. How many of you have heard of the Romans Road before, just by a show of hands? A few of you. The Romans Road is simply going through key passages in the book of Romans that tell us the gospel. They kind of highlight those high points as Paul unpacks this thesis statement that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. If we walk through Romans, Scripture will tell us, the Word of God will tell us, what is the gospel? What is this good news that we believe? What is this power that we have among us to transform us and to change us? Well, here's the first thing I want you to know. The first thing that Paul tells us is that we are ruined. And this world is ruined. Right after he talks about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Do you see it in verse chapter 1, verse 18? He starts with the bad news. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness they suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they were without excuse. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and they exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. So Paul says this as he's telling us the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first big thing that I want you to know is maybe you see this, right? I probably don't have to convince you of this. If you look at your own heart, if you look at this world, there is ruin all around. And let's just stop and think for a minute. Maybe you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can believe in a God like that, right? Because I see all the brokenness and suffering in this world, and why doesn't he do anything about it? Why doesn't he do anything? Well, you can say that. I don't believe in God because I see all this ruin around me. Okay, take God out of the equation. You still see ruin around you, right? Maybe we are the reason for that ruin, right? Maybe God's not to blame. Just maybe it's us and our rebellion. Maybe it is, as we see in Romans chapter 1, that God hates evil and sin and injustice maybe even more than you do. His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The Bible tells us in Romans 1, verse 18, of why this is. We are suppressors of truth. We hold truth down. We don't submit to truth. We suppress truth. We see this in the Garden of Eden as sin entered the world. God gave them commands to follow, and they suppressed that truth. They believed the lies of the evil one and said, that can't be true. God really doesn't care about us. And so they suppressed the truth, and through the one man, Adam, sin entered the world and has infected humanity ever since, including you. It's ruined. We're suppressors of truth. Romans 1:23 says that not only are we suppressors of truth, but that we are exchangers of glory. That we are meant and designed as image bearers of God to display his glory in all of creation, to reflect his glory, to be mirrors that reflect the glory of God in all of the world, to all the ends of the earth. That's what we're called to do, to reflect his glory. But man has sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. We'll get that to that in a minute. And we've exchanged the glory of God for the glory of man. We serve the creature rather than the creator. We're suppressors of truth and exchangers of glory. We want glory for ourselves. And we walk away from our designed purpose of what God has designed us for, to be image bearers, reflectors of his glory. So look in Romans 12:1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man. Every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on one another, you condemn yourself because the judge, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Let me give you a little context. Paul is writing to the church in Rome that was a Jewish and Gentile church. The Jews had been exiled from Rome for about 5 years at that point, and now they're coming back into Rome, and the Gentiles have been around for a while, kind of taking over leadership of the church, and so now they have kind of these cultural differences that are coming together, and they're kind of upset at each other. And so Paul is telling them what's going to form them as a gospel community and what's going to change them. If they want power among them, it's going to be the power of the gospel to form them and make them. And so they're kind of struggling with this. And so Paul says that no one is without excuse, right? Paul is saying verse 2, verse 11. Do you see it here? Look at Romans 2, verse 11. As we continue to walk this Romans road, that God shows no partiality. Verse 12, for all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law, Jews, will be judged according to the law. That the gospel is putting this church on level ground, right? No matter your background, no matter where you've come from or what you might look like, no matter what your religious background might be or your lack of religious background, hey, I have no church background, I have a lot of church background, we all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hope of power is simply this, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter where you come from, what you look like, how much money you have, we all stand without excuse in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're ruined without him. And we're ruined because of our own rebellion. In chapter 1, Paul explains why we're in this mess. Chapter 2 then unpacks why religion can't save us because it neither removes the stain of sin nor repairs the damage of sin. And so he concludes in chapter 3, verse 10, that there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Therefore, we are without excuse. There's no distinction. Romans 3:23. Maybe you know this one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's glory has been revealed, and we fall short. And apart from him, we are ruined sinners. For all have sinned, Jew and Gentile alike. And we all fall short of the glory of God. No amount of works, no amount of law keeping, no amount of religion could ever save us. And so we walk the Romans road. We have to believe the truth that we are by nature ruined sinners. And if we are to have any hope, it's going to take the kindness and mercy of God. Because no one seeks him. No one is righteous. No, not one. We're ruined. But that's not the end of the story. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. Because the story could have ended like that. You're ruined. You fall short. You're exchangers of glory, suppressors of truth. I'm done. But that's not how it ends. We see rescue. We're ruined, but we see rescue. Yes, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. Yes, that is not the end. The mission of God is to rescue sinners and to reconcile us to himself. Aren't you glad that God looks at sin, looks at the brokenness of the world, and he's not happy with it, and he does something about it, right? He does something about it, and he does something about it in a way that we can be rescued. How about that? He's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with us, our glory-exchanging hearts, and he's going to do it in such a way, even though we deserve death because the wages of sin is death, right? That's what we deserve. He's going to do it in a way that we get to live and tell about it, and not only that, but live forever and tell about it for all of eternity. That's pretty cool. How is he going to do it? He's going to rescue, point number two, these ruined sinners. You better believe that God responds to our sin. Yes, his wrath is revealed. Yes, his righteousness is shown. Our righteousness is revealed in our sinfulness. Yes, our ruin is shown, but something else he puts on display, Romans 5:8. Go ahead and look at it, Romans 5:8. If you want to mark that, highlight it. Put a dot by it if you're marking this Romans road as we continue. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, glory exchanging, truth suppressing sinners, he shows his love for us. He puts his love on display. His wrath is seen against that. His righteousness is seen in the law, but he puts something else on display. He puts his love on display, namely on the cross of Jesus Christ. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is a way for ruined sinners to be rescued. How about that? And he puts his love on display on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we know it's his love. It's not what we deserved, right? Romans 6:23, go ahead and look at that one. Romans 6:23, as we continue to walk this Romans road, he says this, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserved. That's what we earned. That's our righteous, just payment for the ruined sinners that we are. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What this means is what we have earned is death, but what he freely gives is life, that he has provided a way of rescue. And this is the power for your life, Christian. This is the power for your church, Christian. This is the power for salvation, unbeliever. To know these truths, to believe these truths, so that you are ruined and there's a way of rescue. This means, is what he's saying, is that Jesus died in my place. He died for sinners, and I am a sinner that needs to be rescued. As one person said, life is short, death is sure, sin the curse, and Christ is the cure. We are ruined sinners, Paul says in Romans 7, 24 and 25, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will rescue me from this death because he has won the victory. So he promises rescue, and he accomplishes rescue. The victory has been won. And so he cries on the cross, it is finished. Because he's done everything necessary for your sin to be dealt with. He has done everything necessary for your rescue to be secured. This power is good news. It's not good advice of how to live a moral life in order to be saved. This is good news. And this word in its original connotations is this is the good news of a herald running back to a city, telling the people of the city, hey, your king has won the battle. He has defeated the enemy, and you are now free. You are slaves no longer because the king has won the battle. Believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The battle has been won for you, and he has rescued you. It's not advice. It's not a proposition. It's power of what Christ has done. And watch this. This is unbelievable. Not only does it tell us, Paul, of our ruin, this Roman road, it tells us of our rescue. The only way to be rescued is through Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm using ours here, by the way, if you haven't picked up on that already. The third thing that we see on this Romans road is the redemption that he brings. If Romans is one of the most impactful books in all of Scripture, perhaps it's Romans 8 is the most impactful chapter in all of Scripture. Listen to the promise for all of those who are in Christ. Are you ready for this? There is now, therefore, no condemnation. How about that? He's already told us that we are suppressors of truth, that we are exchangers of glory, and now he meets us with the promise. Not only have we been rescued, but we have been restored to enjoy a relationship with our Maker, even though we stood condemned and have no reason to be non-condemned because of what we have done. We're not able to uncondemn ourselves. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life, this power, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Lord has set you free. And so when we receive him, we celebrate him with him, what we see in Romans chapter 8. There's no condemnation. We see that we are now, starting in verse 12, that we are heirs with Christ. We see, starting in verse 18, that there's future glory that's coming for those of us who are in Christ. We have this confidence, not only that we're not condemned, but God's plans for us are good, that all things work together for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. We see this promise that if God is for us, Romans 8:31, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also give us graciously all things? That who can bring a charge against God's elect? We're no longer condemned. Romans 8:31 and 32, 33 and 34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing, not tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, nothing. In all things we are more than conquerors. In nothing, in all of creation, no height nor depth nor anything in all of creation, not even your own stupidity will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's pretty awesome. Ruined sinners, God on mission comes and rescues us, sets us free, and redeems us and restores us, that what we have waiting for us is future glory, and we will behold his glory. These glory exchangers have been transformed so much, these glory exchangers, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, now by his grace get to enjoy his glory and goodness forever and ever. That's amazing. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So that's the good news. The bad news first, you're ruined. Rescue has come. Restoration is coming because of what Christ has done. Done for who? For those who believe. Here's the fourth R. Ruined, rescued, redeemed. There's a response. We must respond to this news. We must not just hear this good news. We must respond to this good news. How can I be rescued? Just hearing is not enough. We must believe this good news. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Listen to what Paul says, kind of our last stop on the Romans road. Romans 10. Starting in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's for with the heart one believes, there's the believe, anyone who believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, Romans 8. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Remember who he's writing to. There's no distinction. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him, Jew and Greek alike, churched and unchurched alike. No matter where you come from, you believe this, he bestows his riches upon you. For everyone and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him who they've not believed? How will they hear it unless someone's preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed from what he has heard. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. What do you say? To believe is to have faith. What does Peter say? They're cut to the heart by the gospel. What shall we do? Repent and believe. Turn and trust that you were walking this way as a ruined sinner, and then you repent of your sin. Means that you turn and you start walking this way. By faith you are saved. You're putting your trust. I'm confessing that I'm a ruined sinner. I'm trusting, I'm believing, I'm putting all of my faith. I am surrendering to the truth that you alone can provide rescue. You alone can restore. And here I am completely surrendered to you. And that's what we say in baptism. I've died to myself. I've been raised to walk in newness of Christ. And this is a portrayal of my faith in Christ. Have you turned and trusted? This is power to save you. This is power to deal with your sin. In church, this is power to see God work among us. If we want to be a powerful church, we have to be a gospel-preaching, gospel-loving church. Because that's where our power is. Because in the gospel, we behold Christ. And when we behold Christ, he does wonderful things among us. What Paul is saying here as he portrays faith in Christ is believing. And it's something that completely upends and reorients our lives. Faith in Christ is complete trust, turning and trusting. It's active obedience that changes everything. When someone changes citizenship from a foreign country to the United States of America, they take a vow they pledge their allegiance. And they say, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have herefore been a subject or citizen. And so we too, when we believe this gospel, we say, I turn from this country and I turn to my King, the one who has saved me, the one who has rescued me, the one who has won victory for me. You don't have to understand everything in order to believe. But you need to understand this, that you are lost and desperate without Jesus, but he loves you and offered himself for you, and you repent, you turn, and you trust in him. This is gospel power. It's not just advice. It's not just a proposition. But the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And it's a gospel of faith, not of works. This is gospel power, that death is no longer a thing for you. It's power to live. It's power to live on mission. It's empowered to live for him. It's empowered to love, to navigate a broken world. It's power to walk with him, a power to change you, power to sustain you. And so this Romans road, as we close out, shows us the gospel is not just advice, but the very power of God, power to save us. Paul shows us our ruin. All of us, religious or not, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He shows us our rescue while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. He shows us our restoration. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and nothing will be able to separate you from his love, and he will receive you in the glory. And it tells us of the response, to repent and believe. How will they know unless they hear? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Let's go ahead and pray.